This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Don Gianni.
Don Gianni.
That's a cool name.
Ooh, bah, oh, if I were you, bah. Yeah, if I were you. It starts right now.
What?
That's ooh, bah, oh, if I were you, bah. Yeah, if I were you. It starts right now.
I think that's ooh, bah,
oh, if I were you, bah. Yeah, if I were you. It starts right now.
I think that's ooh, bah,
oh, if I were you, bah. Yeah, if I were you. It starts right now.
I think that's.
Whoa.
Banger.
It was a rave feel.
That was an anthem.
Another one.
Throw your damn hands up.
It actually was another one from Don Kianian.
Don Kianian.
He actually used us talking about how much we liked his name in the actual theme song.
That's cool.
So
that was a collab in a way then.
In a way it was a collab. And this, he says, this one features Amir's brilliant vocal ad-lib.
Ooh.
And if you wouldn't mind shouting out my SoundCloud, I just released a new song called Xenon Lullaby. So soundcloud.com/dKianian.
Cool.
There you have it.
Kianian.
That about, yeah, donkey. No, not donkey, but Don, space, Kianian. It just sounds like donkey on and on.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
We're going to donkey, and we're going to donkey on, and we're going to donkey on and on.
And then he has his phone number.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, don't read that. That's probably just part of his email signature, and he didn't turn it off. I don't think he wants you to say his number.
Okay. I will. Why don't I say part of it?
No, I don't think you should say any of it, really.
Yeah, it is part of his email signature.
Yeah, so I don't think that it's. I think it's absolutely unintentional.
Right.
He wouldn't. No way does he want that getting out. So don't say any part of it. You said you were.
I'm just.
You
reading.
Agreed. You said yeah. I was like, don't say it.
I'm like OCD about this shit that I want
right.
to read
so
every
fine.
Single
say
last
it,
corner of. The...
Say it after, okay? You don't have to read every last quarter. You've read the email actually. You did read
224.
Stop it! You're already. You said you were not going to do this,
yeah.
And now you said 224.
2249.
That's fine. If you're putting your hands up, 2249.
Yes.
Great. That's no it. One can know the rest of his number. No one's going to like. Obviously, no one's going to try to.
True.
Try
and
to
I didn't
guess
say
it.
The area code yet.
You didn't say the area code.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
But, so, yeah.
Don't. But now we got the five. We already know you said 22495.
Not
that's
224,
the area
we're
code.
Five. Five's not an area.
So
code.
Now you're.
And his number was 2249. And I don't want to say the last three digits. That's a, it's a invasion of his privacy.
Yes, it is. It was an invasion of his privacy to say the first digits.
Yeah. But now I
now
feel like,
said,
yeah.
2249.
Yes.
Which isn't even a good way to say a phone number. You said four digits. I mean, usually, traditionally it's three, then four.
Yeah, usually
and then
you go 224-91, whatever, whatever.
Well, now you said nine. Yeah. You said 9-1 now.
Yes. Okay.
So you said 22491.
We're down to two digits.
Do not say the last two digits, because people will call them.
They're funny is all. So I feel like people might
Well, now we know it's 69. Right?
Is it?
The way you just lit up, the way you're being coy and saying, is it?
It's not 69. It's 69 plus 2.
But so you did tell everyone the last two digits.
Did I?
And what's funny about the number 71?
It's not. It may not be 71, but it might be a really 69. Silly number, like 69 plus 2.
So it may not be, yeah. Or it might be.
2249171. That's all I'll say.
Well, you already, that's a full number. And yeah, you said you weren't going to do this.
Thank you, Don.
And instead you made a whole meal out of it. You'd said it over the course of the last
minutes. If I just said it, it would like, it would came and went and we would have glossed over it.
Maybe people, you're right. Wouldn't have committed. But then we went through this whole song and dance, this whole pony show about you saying the number or not. And now we've really highlighted the fact that you said the number.
Yeah. And it's easy to remember.
2249171.
Nice. Yeah. Good job. I feel like
now I've said it. Now I'm complicit.
And I appreciate it.
I'm going to call him to apologize.
And I appreciate you guys listening to If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the web, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
Your brother is traveling internationally.
That's right.
But he is still working on our email, or is this all backlog?
It must be backlog. But then he did have some long ass flights. The baby boy's in Bali.
Whoa. What's in Bali?
I think some eco hostels, some swanky cheap Airbnbs, infinity pools and beaches, and hot young people in their 20s, at least from what I can tell from Instagram.
Uncle Amir would have loved an invite.
Yeah, when you call yourself uncle, you really...
Come on, nephew.
You're so sure to not be invited to the hostel.
I'd love to hang out with a hot Bali 20-year-old.
What kind of 25-year-old brings his uncle to a hostel?
I want it. It won't be hostel when Uncle Amir's there.
Stop
calling
yourself.
It'll be called a fun spot.
I hate that you are an uncle.
A fun hotel. And when Uncle Amir's in the house, no one sleeps in their cot. We're all making a fucking fort.
You're still wearing your snorkel and your flippers, Uncle Amir.
I'm wearing a snorkel and a grind guard. No, I would have loved to be there. I actually searched the geotags, so I might hitch a ride from his Instagram story.
Jesus.
But for now, let's try to answer some questions that he dug up in our email. Here's one about groomsmen, which you might be able to help us out with.
Yes, because he was the best man, planned the bachelor party. You were a groomsman. Yeah, okay, cool.
So we're all coming from a place of wisdom here. I have a dilemma, writes this groomsman. We'll call David.
Okay.
One of your groomsmen. Mm-hmm. That I hope you can shed some light on. My girlfriend and I just got engaged. Super pumped about that.
Nice.
My girlfriend says that she'll probably have around 5 to 7 bridesmaids. My problem is I don't know how to narrow down my groomsmen to that number. I've lived in one town for most of my life, so I was lucky to get close to a bunch of different people over time. I went to a college and made a ton of great friends there. If I had to list all the guys I would want in my wedding, it would easily climb to the 10 to 15 range. In my wedding, I should say, which I know sounds ridiculous. How do I narrow this down? Is there a rule or protocol for this? By the end of the year, I will have been in 7 of my best friend's wedding as a groomsman, but even some of those guys probably wouldn't make the cut for my wedding. Would they be offended if I didn't return the offer? I know I have to narrow it down, but I also don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Help! Thanks, dudes. Longtime fan. Thanks for all that you do. Oh, P.S. Congratulations to Jake for winning the golden mic of the episode.
Thank you. Thank you.
We haven't really decided that for this episode, I don't think.
It's too early in the episode. Too early in the episode to tell. But I really feel like if you're just fiending for the golden mic, you don't win it. It's all you think about.
No, I don't even care.
I feel like if you reach for the golden mic, it's just not even going to happen.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, so whatever.
So whatever, you don't care about it.
I care enough to want it, but not enough that it's desperate that I get fucking eliminated. By the way, the award is meaningless, I should say.
All right. So here's two things that have happened in this episode. You say you want the golden mic.
I do.
You want it so bad that you're like sort of, you're hemming and hawing, backpedaling about if you want it or not.
Not so bad.
And then you're also saying that it's meaningless, which is another... I would say that's a disqualifier as well.
Not disqualified. Forget I even said that part. Forget the PS part. I don't even want to talk about that part.
You want to forget the golden mic?
You're sitting next to, by the way, an actual trophy that a fan sent us.
Yeah, and I really appreciate it. I'm humbled, honored, chuffed, and cheesed by it.
So I don't know who sent it to us, but thank you. Jake is currently in possession of it because he won it last week. I really don't care if I win it this week or not.
That's a DQ.
What?
That's a DQ, bud.
How?
That's a DQ.
I didn't say
You
anything.
Say you don't give a shit about the award?
No, I said I didn't
you
care a lot.
You said you wanted it. You said it was meaningless. You said you don't care. You're DQ'd. Three strikes, you're out. I get the golden mic for this episode. 380. Is this episode 380?
I'd have to check, but yeah. Yeah. No, last week was 380. So this is 381.
So this is my 380th golden mic.
380 for... Oh, because, yeah, the one episode that you didn't win, and I didn't win
either. The Ben one.
Yeah. Why was I DQ'd for this one? Just so I know, going forward.
Going forward. Because you wanted it too bad. No, and then you said it was... Then you said it didn't mean anything. And then you said, forget it. And I'm just like, I'm tracking all these things. I hate to win it by default. I don't even... I wouldn't even consider this a win. I'll call this episode a wash.
Okay, so why don't
you
we took both it off not the board. Win it? We'll both not win it this
Well, you
week.
Forfeit. It has to go to somebody. It's an award, after all. And you have to give it out every single episode. I'll take it. And I appreciate it. And I'm humbled, honored, chuffed, and cheesed.
Fine. Fine. You haven't given out the turdy yet, have you? The one for the worst, shittiest?
That one hasn't come out yet. But okay. Don't try not to...
Try not to think
Try not to be
it.
Hyper-focused Fine. On it, because that's I'm a not. Sure way to win the turdy.
I'm not going to get the turdy this week. Watch. Okay. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Does there have to be an equal amount of groomsmen and bridesmaids?
No. I think it's almost more fun when you don't have that. Like if you've got bridesmaids walking down with a groom on each arm, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I also love the idea of like a rowdy, lively wedding, like big wedding party. Like having 14 of your best friends walk 7 bridesmaids down the aisle, that's fun. That's super cool.
Yeah.
I think the part that like maybe you got to be a little worried about is like if you have such a big groomsmen party, like I felt like mine was 5, right? Yeah, mine was 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was 5. But if I had like one more person, it would have spilled over to like 8 or something, you know?
It's like a tiered system.
Yeah,
if I include this person, then it's the next chunk of 4.
So if you have like 15, I feel like you're getting into the territory where you're like, damn, this guy has 15 people and I still didn't get the invite.
Yeah.
But that said, I also think that on your wedding day, it's your fucking call. Don't even worry about it.
So you can have 15, she can have 5.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's...
Do you want 15? That's a lot of people to get prepped with and worry about. Because it is a little stressful. You got to get them gifts. You got to take the pictures. You got to have this, that, and the other. Where do they stand?
Right. But it's so much about like the vibe that you want to create. So if you want to have like a rowdy, fun getting ready, if these are your boys, then do it. But if you're thinking like, no, I want to keep it real mellow. Or maybe your guys are mellow. Who really knows?
Yeah.
But I've been in bigger wedding parties. Like my brother-in-law, there was like 10 of us or something like that.
10?
I think so.
Jesus.
It was a lot.
That's a lot of friends.
And it wasn't crazy rowdy. It was perfectly fine. And then mine was only 5 people. And Carnell almost like burned our room down. So... That you can have a few people, and I guess he didn't. He almost ruined his suit and my brother's suit with the steamer.
The steamer,
and took a video of me in the shower.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can either have 15 people or just like 1 Carnell.
Yeah,
that's the exchange right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I imagine that's one of the more stressful parts of planning a wedding is choosing your best friends. You have to rank a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of like ranking people at the wedding that's associated with planning a wedding because it's like,
who do you want in the wedding?
Who you want,
in
want the
at
wedding?
The wedding?
Who you want to invite to the wedding? And then even like tables, like who are you going to sit next to who? And like, does this table get a good view or does this person have to sit next to Uncle Morty or something? It's
And who gets to sit next to Uncle Amir? Uncle Amir gets post-nasal drip around celebration
still
times.
In a snorkel.
That's why I've, since the age of 18, I keep a running tab of the top 300 people in my life. And it's like a sliding scale that I adjust every day so that when I'm ready to pull the trigger, get married, boom, I know who the top 180 are. I know who the top 240 are. I know where they're sitting. I know who are the groomsmen. I know the top, however, 4, 5, 8, 12, 16 friends in my life. And then that way I'm not stressed out about it because I've been stressed out about it since I've been fucking 12. I know I said 18 earlier, but it was 12 earlier.
You just won the tourney.
What?
You just won the goddamn tourney with your math rant. With your math rant.
No wonder I've gotten so many tourneys. A lot of them are math rants.
They're almost all math rants.
It's 15 minutes deep. You've already won a golden mic. I hope it's the only one of the episode, because last episode you won
last
two.
Last time there were two.
And I got a
no,
fucking...
I won this one by default. I didn't even want to win this one like that. You made me win the golden mic by forfeit. And
I didn't forfeit.
I think you win the tour. You win two tourneys. You forfeit the golden mic. That's an auto tourney. And the math rant, that's a dual tourney. That's two number twos.
No, that wasn't good. That's a golden joke. Mic. That's a math joke.
And that's a golden
two
mic.
Two number twos wow. is a golden mic
two
joke,
number
but
twos.
My 18 and 12 is a turdy. Do you see where the discrepancy is?
Two number twos is good because it's turdy.
Yes.
And number two is what you, it's the...
No,
it's,
I know it, the joke. It's a yeah, numbers it's, joke. Mine was a numbers joke. You gave me a shit
award. It's not a numbers
award.
Joke. It's a shit award. Yeah, it's the shit award. And number two is sort of like the slang, the common man nomenclature for a duty.
Thank you. Yeah. Cool. Congrats, by the way. I feel like you came in here with the agenda to give yourself a golden mic.
I never had an agenda. You were the one that brought it up. You brought it up and you brought up the turdy. You brought up both.
Basically, you don't have to have as many groomsmen as bridesmaids.
Right. I don't think you do.
Bingo, bango, bongo. Here's one from a lady.
Ooh la la.
We'll call Daenerys Targaryen.
Very nice.
That's right. I saw the last episode of Game of Thrones.
Episode 3, season 8.
Battle of Winterfell.
Or are we going to spoil? You have to say it up front.
Enough time has elapsed. The spoiler has been spoiled.
It's been over a week.
That's right.
But so then still, spoiler alert, did you like it?
I obviously had no emotional attachment to any of the characters, so the deaths meant nothing to me. It was visually cool. At parts, there were parts that looked cool. I wouldn't say it looked any cooler than like a random movie from 2010 that I would like channel flip by on TBS.
A lot of people had issues with the lighting. They said that they couldn't see the episode. They didn't like the way it looked.
Yeah, that didn't come up in my viewing of it. I wasn't like, this is too dark. I'm like, oh, this is a battle scene at night. So this is what it's supposed to look like. Mm. Did you think that it was too dark before you read all the tweets about it?
I didn't read any tweets about it till afterwards, and during the episode I like spent 10 minutes trying to adjust the brightness on my TV
because it was too dark
because I couldn't see anything.
And it wasn't, do you think they did that on purpose because like we don't have a lot of money for special effects, so like let's make it really dark and then it'll be like it won't matter what things look like as much.
There are parts of that are like, if that is the case, it worked. Like the Dothraki torches or like blazing Erics, like going across the field in the dark.
Yeah.
I don't know. That maybe that wasn't like a super expensive effect because you couldn't really see anything except the torches, but it looked awesome. That was great.
Yeah.
And the rest of it, I read that it was more about like they're trying to get like naturalistic lighting.
Naturalistic lighting in this dragon fight.
Yeah, like the people in Game of Thrones have been like trying to make it like muddier and bleaker at night because that's like how medieval time was. Like, yeah, this was really just being lit by torches and candles.
But it was their decision to do it at night.
Yeah, and I guess their decision to like put people in an ice storm also just like make everything fucking hard to see.
Yeah, that was a major complaint.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah, I thought it was annoying that it was hard to see. Still, there was a lot of parts that were like visually stunning. I really disliked the episode.
Whoa, really disliked.
And that's the first, I was even on board for like season 7 when they like went beyond the wall to get the white, like, and bring it back to King's Landing, which everybody, or so many people, thought was lame.
I'm so like, you were always a Game of Thrones apologist.
Yeah,
you guys think this is lame?
Like, maybe this is a little unbelievable, but don't we want to see them do this? This is cool.
Yeah,
and like, this is the first time where I was like, I felt like I was hoodwinked.
Hoodwinked because the battle was too dark to see, or it didn't make sense for the story.
Didn't make sense for the story.
What didn't make sense for the story?
So my big concern is.
Keep in mind, I've only seen season one in this episode, so there might be some stuff that I missed in between.
Well, actually, this almost works.
Yeah.
In season one, in like episode one, they show the threat of the undead.
That's right, the White Walkers.
Yeah. And the entire show has been about preparing for the battle of the undead. Mm-hmm. It's why Jon Snow lets the wildlings through the wall, which you don't know, but like,
it's all been.
It's why he's murdered. It's like. Everything is like so many people's storylines are like, stop worrying about the Game of Thrones. The big battle, the great war is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And Cersei laughs at this. She's like, you know, that's not real. It's why they go beyond the wall to bring a white to King's Landing. It's why Jaime goes up to King's Landing. It's like, hey, the battle of the living and the dead. That's what it's all about.
Uh-huh.
And then in a single episode, it's dispelled. It's gone.
The battle starts and ends in 60 minutes.
Yes, and I know there are battles like Hard Home and Beyond the Wall or whatever, Fist of the First Men, where they fight these things. But like, it feels like they should have marched south. The rest of the realm should have seen that the threat was real and that the people who banded together in Winterfell are the real heroes of the story. But instead, just a ton of them died and then they win. And the rest of the realm is just like, what happened up there? Did the White Walkers actually come like you said?
And was it part of the plan, or did Arya just say, like, you know what, I'm going to hide in a tree and wait for the fucking Night King? And it's like, don't worry about your plan. Sorry about the 75,000 dead or whatever. Watch this. I did it. I killed the king.
I have no idea. That's like her coming out of nowhere and just like jumping through the air and stabbing him. Maybe in the next few episodes they'll be like, oh, here's how she did that. It made sense. But like, she's an assassin. She like spent a season
But when that happened, were you like, hell yeah? Or were you like, what?
I was really happy because I love Arya and I always wanted the Night King to die. I wanted somebody to kill him and have the entire army fall. I like knew that's how you kill him. But like, they also established that there's the Night King, the Whites, and the White Walkers. The White Walkers are like sort of better than just like the straight up zombies, but not quite the Night King.
They're the ones that exploded when he died.
Yeah. Like, those are bosses, too. Like, they should have had the other heroes fight the bosses. And, like, if you kill one of those things, you kill, you know, not all of the army, but a portion of it. And it's just weird to, like, have all of the heroes of your story who you're so invested in. Everybody is like, I don't want these people to die. I don't want these people to die. And then have them in this battle. And, like, the only challenge they face is just, like, a volume game of zombies.
Yeah, like Jaime on the castle, stabbing,
just like
stabbing,
stab, stab,
stabbing.
Stab, stab. He doesn't have a moment where it's like, oh shit, now you have to face a boss, or you and Brienne have to like take down a White Walker. And even Daenerys and Jon on like their dragons, there was no like real, I guess there was a dragon fight, but there was no like.
But it was too hard to see.
There's no heroic moment where he like saved people or did anything impressive. I just feel like, if you spend 8 seasons growing to love all of these characters, you have to give them a more interesting moment than like have them disappear into darkness and zombies for an entire episode only to have all of it undone with just one person stabbing the guy in the gut.
Yeah. Did everyone know that Arya did it, or they're like, whoa, what just happened? Somebody unplugged all of them.
I think everybody knew that was like the way to kill the White Walkers. It's also – that's what a – insane weak link that like, all right, this is our whole army, and if anything happens to this one guy, everyone's dead. So let's all just make sure that nothing, no one's ever jumping out of the air at him.
Yeah, don't worry, I'll stand here while you talk to this kid in a wheelchair.
This one's also really small, but I thought Theon, who is like such a, has a really cool character arc, when he like turns and it's like, and Bran is like, you're a good man. He's like, this is his last stand. He just runs at him with a spear.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to just like
killed and yeah. destroyed.
At least have like
challenge him to a fight.
Right. Wide stance, boy. Come on, lad. Fight for your life.
Just, try. Do something.
Just run at him with a spear. That's yeah. it.
So he had a different plan than Arya had a different plan than the army. It seemed like everyone was just sort of operating on their own agenda.
Right. I think that was another thing that I really didn't like. Like, Jon Snow is supposed to be the leader of all these people, and their plan is just really bad. All of the horse people go charge into the darkness.
Okay, they die instantly.
Next. Then, theoretically, they turn into zombies.
Uh-huh.
And then we're just going to have I don't know, I guess a little trench that needs to be
he's fighting
lit on
American
fire.
Gladiator style against a dragon, was it? At what point does he yell at the dragon? What was he trying to do to the dragon?
Oh,
something
yeah,
was breathing fire at him. Was it a
yeah,
monster?
Yeah, he like,
or
couldn't
dragon?
Get by it, so then he like finally stood up and just screamed at it.
Did that work? Everyone just died. Holy shit.
John running in. Guys, I think I did it. All I had to do was scream at the dragon.
Yeah, no, Arya stabbed the Night King.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought I was Azor Ahai.
There's only one way to kill the Night King. I guess Arya had the sword.
I will. It happened at the same time as I screamed at the dragon.
How did she penetrate the Night King? He was just sort of walking around, kind of on like an evening stroll, solo dolo style. So yeah. It wasn't that hard.
His armor was loose on the day. He was smiling at Bran.
Yeah, he didn't really want to kill Bran. It seemed like he was in no rush to get safe. He felt like he was just, there was no one around him.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
does
I still
love the show. Does it retroactively ruin the show for you?
No, but it definitely, like, it punctured a hole in it that I don't think could be repaired. Like the,
so that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I basically thought
it can no longer be the greatest show.
No, I think it still can be, but I think that they really let me down, and it sort of felt like the
you holding your dragon figurine the entire episode.
It was really. So two things. One, I just like it made the show creators and the writers human for me. I was like, oh. Like, all of the fan theories that I read online were better than what just happened.
Yeah.
Like, these guys actually did a dumb thing.
It's just, like, this random 43-year-old that's been getting lucky so right. far.
And then the other, like, when it was over, I was watching it with Jill, who's, like, not a fan, but, like, has watched this season and she liked the episode.
Oh.
And she was like, she's like, wow. And then she turned to me and I was like, I was a shell. I was like, I don't know if I liked it. Like, I didn't even know if I liked it because I didn't have the courage to say it. Yeah.
If everyone loved it or if everyone hated it, does that swing people on the fence?
I really had to read. So, like, after it was over, I was like, I don't think I liked it. And then we were talking. And I was like, maybe I did. This was cool. Like, the dragons going way up above into the clouds was cool. Jorah, like, that was awesome. Like, no, maybe I did like it. Arya killed the king. Like, that's good. And then I was, like, in bed reading reviews, and some of them were positive. And I was like, just, like, New York Times had a glowing review. And I was like, fuck, I guess it's good. And then I started reading, like, I think Slate had a negative one. I was like, oh, no, this is what I didn't like about it. And then
I agree with this.
Yeah, then maybe The Verge. I don't know. I was like, then I was, like, looking for negative reviews just to see people who could articulate better than I could.
That's kind of how I felt about Us. Did you see the movie Us, the Jordan Peele movie?
No.
It was like an awesome looking thing. And then you're like, wait a minute, that part didn't make sense. And then everyone's like, wait, how did that work? I'm like, yeah, how did that work? That's true.
Yeah. That's almost riskier though, because you're like in the comedy community. So for me to say that Game of Thrones sucked, I don't really feel any risk here. Like, what's going to happen?
Well, Us isn't a comedy either.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But Jordan Peele wrote it.
Yeah, he wrote it. He directed it really well.
Yeah.
It's
so that part
stunning.
Was good.
Yeah.
Mr. Peele, if I could audition for you.
And I don't get me wrong, I loved Get Out, another movie of his. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people brought up the fact that like there's some stuff that like, wait, if you think about it too long, the movie starts falling apart. Whereas Get Out, if you think about it, the movie gets stronger.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyway, you should watch Us and let me know what you think.
I also just realized I want to write for the Game of Thrones spinoff. So
there's a spinoff?
D&D, if you guys are listening, I really think I could help fix the problems. Yeah, they're going to do like in the same world, in Westeros show.
Huh.
Yeah. The creation of the Night King, the first Azor Ahai, all of that stuff.
Oh, Jesus. All right, fine. I'll... I'll watch that, I guess.
Are you? You gave up on. You're not going to watch Game of Thrones. You're just going to watch the last season.
Yeah. Or I don't even know if I'll watch anymore. I just wonder. Everyone's like, you got to watch tonight. Tonight's the big episode, longest battle. It's a historic moment in television history. So maybe it was built up too much too.
Yeah, that's definitely possible.
All right, let's take a break now. We'll thank some sponsors. We'll
and be then back. Daenerys Stormborn question we'll when get we get this, back.
Yeah, that's get right. her question.
Okay.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah, yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike, like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very exciting.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content. You download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022. Mm-hmm.
You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what you saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month.
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, quasi-legal,
kind of
dangerous subscriptions that Rocket Money found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments. That's rocketmoney.com/segments, rocketmoney.com/segments. Thank you, Rocket Money. And we are back. Jake, do you have any?
On to Let's Do It If I... Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
No.
Okay. I've been thinking about car washes. Car washes, I feel, are underappreciated, undervalued.
Cars are on the mind.
Yeah. Since your Audi question last week, I've been thinking about cars. Got a car wash this week. I'm like, this is great. Makes my car feel almost brand new. Costs like $12. It takes car like washes 25 minutes.
I don't. Are they cheap mostly in L.A.?
Yeah, anything car related is cheaper in LA because there's so many cars they can charge less.
Because it's weird. Car washes. I grew up on the East Coast. I grew up in Connecticut. We had like one car wash in our neighborhood.
Is it because it rains all the time, or maybe because it's snow? You're not gonna like get a car wash, and then it's like, oh, okay, there's a
storm. Yeah, I don't know if it's like either because it rains all the time, so your car's gonna get clean in the rain, or if it's just like, no, the weather's so shitty that it just like your car is gonna
doesn't
be
matter.
Fucked all the time.
Yeah,
but yeah, LA. It's like much everywhere you go, you see a car wash.
Yeah, and between April and October, it's just dusty. So you might as well get a car wash. Mm-hmm. Makes your car feel cleaner. It's kind of like my water pick idea, but for your car.
Oh yeah. Do you do the car wash where you sit in the car, or do you leave the car?
The deep cleanse is like I'm going to give the car away, and they're going to just have at it for half an hour. But if I don't have that much time, or if I'm not near one, I'll do the drive-through kind. The drive-through kind is more like a little boost to get me to the next car wash.
Right. That's the rinse out your mouth yeah. with water. But if you want the water pick, if you want the full bidet treatment.
Oh, yeah. They'll take it. And then you can sit and watch the conveyor belt like your newborn baby. Like, that's my car. Yeah. Look, it's getting a little wax thing.
I like to be in the car when it goes through the thing because I'm nostalgic for it.
Oh, yeah.
So your advice is to
get more car washes.
Get more car washes.
Yeah.
Treat yourself.
Is NADPOD sold out for HeadGum Live in Chicago?
I think it's weird. There's like only balcony or only opera box seats left.
Yeah.
And you can only buy the whole entire opera box.
That's right. There's a few groups of six that have to buy tickets to your NADPOD show in Chicago.
Yeah. So it is all sold out. I mean, if somebody's
if somebody has five friends and wants to come.
Or if they've got if they're business minded, they could buy all six and then sell four at a profit.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like scalp tickets to HeadGum Live.
Right. Or just like put them online or Twitter. If somebody did that and tweeted at me, I would
help facilitate the sale.
Yeah. For a small fee.
Of course. Now you're becoming the middleman.
Yeah.
That's the golden
mic
difference.
Where's my action?
I want the squeeze. I want the juice. I want the vig. Tickets still available for If I Were You and High and Mighty, a bunch of other shows at HeadGum Live. It's headgum.com/live for tickets. Get them while you can. June 14th, 15th, 16th, Talia Hall in Chicago.
Can't wait. It's going to be a party. And there's tickets for us still.
Yeah, for our show, and some of the other ones haven't sold out yet. But they're going fast. I will say that much. So grab them while you can. All right. This is finally the email. The 25-year-old Jewess who's in a bit of a pickle will call, once again, Danny. That's a thing people do. They call Daenerys Danny, right?
Yeah. It's just like a cute little nickname for the fucking queen.
Danny writes, I started a new job and became pretty friendly and flirty with some of my coworkers. It's a restaurant, and the two cooks have both been flirting with me. They're both really cute in their own ways, and the attention is making me dizzy. I don't consider myself particularly attractive, so getting compliments feels really special. It was my birthday last week, and I invited them both to my party. Only one of them came. He ended up staying over, and we fucked around. We even laughed about how he had called dibs on me and talked about me with the other cook. He's great in bed, and we had a lot of fun. An hour or so after he kissed me goodbye and left my apartment, I get a Facebook message from the other one, his best friend, asking me out on a date.
His spidey dick was tingling.
I guess he doesn't understand dibs. Should I, and should anyone have the right to dibs me? The second guy is really fucking hot and was really funny and kind of really funny and kind the one time we met. Do I let them both work it out on their own? Do I tell guy one that guy two is hitting on me? Do I try to convince them to have a threesome or date me as a thruple? I feel silly about moving fast with guy one before I saw what guy two had to offer. But does it need to be first come, first serve? I both hate and love that I'm being treated like a trophy, not unlike your Golden Mike trophy. As I mentioned...
Don't disrespect that.
As I mentioned, I'm not used to this attention, so I'm worried I'll make bad choices because I'm so excited. It's fun and dangerous for now, but I know it's going to make work super awkward soon, and I don't want to ruin a friendship. I'm polyamorous and have been in couples before, and have been with couples before. Are best bros kind of like a couple? Can I make them choose, or do I have to be responsible? Any help you can have would be greatly appreciated. And then it said, see you at your second cousin's bat mitzvah, because I went to camp with her older brother. Are you going to a second cousin's bat mitzvah?
When is this question dated? Because Micah might have gone further back.
No, this is just 2 days ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't have a second cousin's
bat mitzvah. Yeah, maybe she's just being cheeky.
Maybe, yeah.
In a Danny way.
Jew thing, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, first of all, congrats.
She fooled around with one guy, and then the other guy slid into her FBMs.
Doesn't this always happen? There's like two people in your life, like two people will come into your life, and you'll be like, oh, they're both cute. Like, and then you go for the one that's like the easiest,
yeah,
like the nearest by.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh shit, but the one that's hotter actually liked me.
That's right. Does she owe it to either of them to tell them about the other?
Definitely not.
They should be talking if they're best buds.
I mean, they probably already know.
So it's like, I asked that girl out, and then he's like, oh, I actually fooled around with her.
Yeah, like, I would imagine that this guy, the one who Facebook messaged you, finding out that his friend fucked you, would only make him like...
I don't know if they had sex.
Oh, right. Okay.
But they... They hooked around.
I mean, if you didn't have sex, then hell yeah, this is like super on, you know?
With either one of them.
With either one of them.
So she gets, she can actually move from guy one to guy two.
Definitely.
So she's like, yeah, I'll go out on a date with you.
But I don't, like, does she want to just, it doesn't sound like she wants to like just fully pivot to guy one. She kind of, she's enjoying this time of being, being sought after by both of them.
That's right.
So, I mean, I would just enjoy that. I don't think you have to make any decisions, but you definitely don't have to worry about what decisions they're making.
Can she...
Like, you'll never be able to know.
Can she Facebook message this guy and be like, yeah, I'll go out with you?
Yeah, definitely.
Without the whole, I should let you know that I've been hanging out with guy one.
No. I didn't have to say that.
So just a straight up, yeah.
Been hanging out. They hung out yesterday. We don't even know what this guy's intentions are.
Well, he wants to take her out. Guy two does.
Yeah. So maybe, I mean, I would definitely just go out, and then if it comes up, if it doesn't, if I mean, this is gonna get weird at work. Obviously,
naturally,
let's put that out there. It's gonna get weird at work.
But it's a restaurant, you know.
Everybody's fucking everybody at a restaurant.
It's an in and out. It's
the bar back's fucking the owner. the bartender's fucking the bar.
And I'm at the corner holding a toaster oven's outlet, jerking off. I really am. I'm holding an outlet. I'm Django in the kitchen.
I'm having a Harvey Wallbanger.
What's that?
It's a drink and a sex move.
What's the sex move of it?
You fuck a wall.
Got it.
I'm a horny bartender and I fucked a wall.
Oh, call me out on it. Why don't you? Yes, I fucked a wall. So she don't think she owes this guy any explanation.
No. Which is the one that called dibs?
The first guy, the one that she hooked up with.
The one that she hooked up with?
Yeah.
The one that she hooked up with called dibs. Unfortunately, sweetheart, that's game over.
What?
You've been called dibs upon.
What's wrong in your mouth?
Oh, it's sort of stuck.
Yeah,
my lower jaw.
A lot of ham or something.
Uh-huh. It's chaw, it's ham, and I'm smoking a cigar and sniffing a brandy.
It's a cham cigar.
It's a cham cigar. Well, shucks, sister. You've been called dibs upon.
You've been dibbed.
You've been thus dibbed.
Oh, you missed the spittoon.
I'm the mayor of Chicago in 1904.
Yeah. Name?
Chauncey.
Harvey Wallbanger, if you can believe it.
Very good. That's almost Golden Mike worthy if you didn't forfeit the mic earlier in the episode.
I want you
to know that. The Harvey Wallbanger callback, that's the Golden Mike that never was.
You don't think I've ever made a joke like that on the show before?
I think you have, but I think maybe something I had done or said before was better.
Got it. And then do you think I've Have there been some times where I made the best joke, but I had been DQ'd beforehand?
This is the first ever DQ. I don't want you to think that like you've DQ'd before and that's the only reason why I've won. This is the first ever Golden Mike by forfeit, and there will be an asterisk on it forever, which pains me to say, but it helps that I won.
But what? There's an asterisk on the award you're giving yourself with a trophy you're giving yourself. But what? Let's hear it.
I was just going to say, but I did win the second Golden Mike this episode.
So
and
you
that was,
got it. So that's, what was the second one for?
Look, it's not important. I don't want to relitigate every single Golden Mike. We're not going to do that. That's not what the Golden Mike's about.
Why did I get DQ'd for this one? Because all I remember doing is reading.
You said you didn't care about it.
No, you said, I said, P.S., good job on Jake winning the Golden Mike last week. And then you're like, I hope you're not too obsessed with it. And I said, no, I'm not too obsessed with it. And then you DQ'd me for not caring.
It was three strikes because you were obsessed.
No.
Then you said I made it up.
No way.
And then you said you didn't care. So that's three strikes and you're out. That's it. You're out. And I feel like I just don't want to get too far into the weeds with this thing because it's a lot of like peeking under the hood, seeing how the sausage is made. People just tune in to hear the show.
Yes.
So let's just try to have fun.
I am trying to have fun, but you're sitting here across from me. You got the sunglasses on. You're holding a trophy. You're holding a small little mic.
It's a small trophy.
It's a fucking.
Don't make me take you out of the running for next week.
Oh my God, I can already be eliminated for next week.
I've never done it before.
No, you haven't.
I'm not going to do it.
Thank you.
I wouldn't do that.
Fucking Christ.
What?
No, just saying, don't take me out for next week.
Okay.
Jesus. I'm trying to find one last question before I have to get out of here.
Yeah. Well, let's try to have fun because I feel like that really, you know, we're bringing the energy down. You make it all about the Golden Mike. You're pissed. You're sad. Mm-hmm. You're mad at yourself, I imagine. But I think you're a really cool co-host.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think you're super funny. The Harvey Wallbanger shit was awesome. That was a really good callback.
Thank you. I needed to hear that. I wish I hadn't been DQ'd earlier in the episode for reading.
Let's not make it about the DQ thing. I'm trying to just move forward. Okay. And you're just like backpedaling, backtracking. Can I get a smile out of you? Can I see a smile? Can I see teeth? Good. All right. That was a nice smile. I've had a little laugh. That wasn't a laugh. I need a guffaw from you.
Ha, ha.
There we go. Was that so hard?
I wish I didn't win a turdy. That would make.
So do I.
You still win the Golden mic.
I won two Golden mics this episode. You won two turdies.
Get rid of one of my turdies for making the Harvey Wallbanger joke. I showed you the teeth. I gave you the smile. Give me one turdie to your two Golden mics. You're still way ahead. You net out up three trophies.
I'll tell you what. I'll take away your turdy.
Great.
For the Harvey Wallbanger. And I'm going to give you another turdy for obsessing over it. Okay? You've derailed the show into an obsessive a quest for a Golden Mic, which is an award you have to earn. You don't just get it.
An award you made
up. They don't just hand it out.
Got it.
And the turdy, then you're obsessed with the turdy, which is frankly, that's an award you really shouldn't ever think about. But you can't let go of it. I've eliminated your turdy for the Harvey Wallbanger joke.
Thank you.
Which, by the way, I set up. Almost a Golden Mike worthy alley-oop there.
I'm not saying anything because I know you're wanting to catch me in some sort of mistake.
So you get the turdy for obsessing over the turdy. So that is three turdies. One was eliminated for an amazing joke.
Two turdies then.
Two turdies on the day, on the ep.
Yes.
And I have two Golden Mics, one which will forever have an asterisk, and that's on you. So honestly, that asterisk should be on Amir's turdy. That's all I would say.
What? You're moving the asterisk over.
I don't think I need to have an asterisk on a Golden Mic. I've had an unprecedented run.
You said you were having an asterisk on one of the Golden Mics that it killed you, but it needed to be there, and then you gave yourself another
Golden
Mic. I
also just realized you messed up my Golden Mic count because you said it was 380. Because we had done 381 episodes and Ben had won one, but I won two the episode before.
You said 380.
So it actually is 381, and now the count is up to 383, even though we've only done 382 episodes.
One with an asterisk.
Your turdy has the asterisk. And now we're getting so bogged down with these details that I feel like it's just, is just
don't
taking
give me
over.
Another, all right.
We're not going to give you any more.
Let's move on.
No more.
No more turdies.
No more turdies.
No more golden mics. No more whatever. No more turdies.
No more talk about it. Okay? That's what we're getting rid of. Okay. But let's try to have a positive attitude. You're going to get another smile? Can I see a smile? Nice. Teeth? Good.
All right. We were talking about uncles earlier. Mm-hmm. This guy has a question about his uncle. Why don't we call him John, named after your uncle?
Yes.
Hello, Jake and Amir. Jake, congrats on yet another Golden Mike Award. Nice. Wow. Thank you. It's been a joy to watch your streak grow.
Thank you so much. I'm humbled. I'm humbled about this shit. All right. Go on.
Anyway, I had an odd problem. Over the past couple years, my uncle has been more and more active on social media. He sends me messages occasionally to see how I'm doing, and I don't mind it at all. We live far away from each other, and he's a nice guy. We talk a bit and catch up. The problem is, over the past few weeks, he's been sending me DMs of pictures of motorcycles on Instagram. I don't have an interest in a motorcycle. I've never ridden one, and I don't know how much these things cost. The first time he sent me a picture like that, I thought it was an accident, so I didn't say anything. But he keeps sending them to me. It's not like his account has been hacked either. He sends me different pictures each time. I'm starting to wonder if I'm being rude by not replying to his motorcycle DMs. Should I just say something like, wow, that's cool? Or do you think that would open a Pandora's toolbox and lead to him flooding my DMs with even more pictures of motorcycles? Thanks in advance. Keep up the great work. Big fan of Buckets and Nadpod as well.
All right. Well, you don't have to ghost your uncle, right?
Don't ghost your uncle.
A rule of thumb... And a rule of mum's brother, that is. Damn, that's almost dirty worthy. If both dirties hadn't been given out, that was a total cheeseball joke, man.
Why don't you get a fucking dirty? You got two golden mics and a dirty. You have never
gotten
a dirty.
Well, there's already two dirties for this episode, one of which has an asterisk because it came at the expense of forfeiting a golden mic.
All right, anyway, a good rule of mum.
Nice. I just don't think you should ignore the messages. Wow, that's cool. Your instinct there is perfect. You don't have to do much, but just make him feel like he's not sending the motorcycles into the void.
Yeah, but maybe he can reply to every other one, so it doesn't encourage.
Yeah, totally. I don't think you have to reply to every single one, but you also. I feel like you're in a weird position now where if you see your uncle in person, you almost, like, you'll have it hanging over your head. Like, do I talk to you about
shows up with a motorcycle.
Yeah. You kind of have to acknowledge that this has been happening.
Yeah. Acknowledge the motorcycle. But it can't be that annoying if it's being sent to your DMs.
Right.
He's not, like, calling you. He's not taking your time.
Right.
He's DMing.
DMing, you just write back, thumbs up emoji. Vroom, vroom. Way to go, uncle.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an easy one. That's a quick one.
That's a quick one.
All right. Thank you guys for writing in. Thank you for sending your theme song submissions. Opening one was Don Kianian, of course.
Don Kianian.
This closing one is written by Jake.
Ooh,
not
me?
You, a different Jake. Let me look up his last name. Jake Song. Jake Ayala. Trap beat. If you can shout out, please do it for Lucia Gan, the Canadian. So between Lucia Gan and Don Kianian, we got enough alliteration and rhymes to last us for a while. But we do need more theme songs. We need more questions. Send them all to us.
Always.
ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. Again, our tickets for our show in Chicago, headgum.com/live. Congrats to Jake for winning two awards. And I also won two awards today, I guess. My awards were bad. His were
That's right.
Gold.
I'm glad you know that. Golden Mike's two turdies.
Nice.
One with an asterisk.
What's the point of putting an asterisk on a turdy?
Oh, because it was extra turd worthy.
Just fine. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
You're a turd, by the way.
Fuck you, man.
It's the Pinch and the Mirror, and they're both very clear that they will be right here for whatever is near. So if I were you, I'd call two Jews, I'd ask them for help, whatever you do. If I were you, two Jews, Toda, to you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.